This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Cedarside. Cedarside's original 100% organic insect spray kills bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more, but is completely safe for your home, pets, and family. Go to cedarside.com, use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping, or call 800-842-1464 and mention you heard it here. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it is summer. We're in full swing. We have reached the milestone of Independence Day. So now, we're all headed to mountain destinations and beaches, and it's a hot time in the city, and summertime, and the living's easy. A lot of us are spending more time in the sun, and that may pose certain hazards. Many of us rely on sunscreens, but as I pointed out in a recent article, sunscreens may be harmful. They may give us a false sense of security. I hardly recommend that you check out an article that I wrote recently entitled 10 Natural Sun Care Supplements That You May Not Have Heard Of, things that you can take internally to provide you with a little bit of sun protection, although you can't even completely rely on those to protect you from the sun. Now, in my opinion, this whole, avoid the sun propaganda has been overreaching because we have now exposed ourselves to the risk of an epidemic of vitamin D deficiency. So we need the sun. Shunning the sun is not an option. But slathering sunscreen on can pose hazards. And today we want to talk to an expert. She's written a book entitled Sunscreens and Biohazards. She's got a website which talks about that, and we'll share that with you in just a moment. She's Dr. Elizabeth Plourd. She's a licensed clinical laboratory scientist with degrees in both biological science and psychology, and she's also worked in medical laboratories looking at cancer and ways that DNA can be transformed harmfully. And she's using this expertise to focus her attention specifically on the hazards of sunscreens and how they're impacting how our children, especially, and the environment, because children are very vulnerable, but often we don't talk about the environmental effects of sunscreens, which she'll point out to us in just a few moments. She is sounding a clarion call because she believes that action needs to be taken quickly to prevent any more detrimental effects from chemicals that have been distributed in an unrestricted fashion into our environment. She's appeared on George Noory's Coast to Coast AM, The Gary Nell Show, and a variety of TV and radio programs, and she's been lecturing all over the country and all over the world on this important issue. So without further ado, here's Dr. Plourd. It's a pleasure having you here on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you so much. Part of the problem with being a researcher is uncovering all these things that the people, the world has to know and not getting the word out. So I so appreciate being able to get the word out, and you positioned it so well in your introduction. Thank you.
And incidentally, the website is sunscreens, plural, biohazard.com. If you just omit the S, you'll get to the wrong website. It's sunscreensbiohazard.com. And there you'll find a way to get the book, which is entitled appropriately. It is entitled Sunscreens and Biohazards. And so, it seems that this breaks down into four categories, Dr. Plourd. On the one hand, we've got the issue of that sunscreens are ineffective. I mean, that, I think, is something that's been pointed out by, among other people, the Environmental Working Group. They actually have a very nice section on sunscreens where they conclude that research really doesn't support the effectiveness of many sunscreens. That's number one. Number two, that sunscreens may actually create more of a problem because they give us a false sense of security. We spend more time out in the sun because we think we're protected, but we're not. And sunscreens may contain chemicals that are harmful to humans, but particularly children. You're going to focus on that. But you bring up a very interesting perspective is that, even if they were effective, so many, literally tons of these chemicals are pouring into our waters, our lakes and our oceans, with potentially devastating effects to the environment. So which area do you want to tackle first? Do you want to talk about the effectiveness of sunscreens first?
Right, the effectiveness, because the whole premise of the sunscreen is entirely wrong. The entire solar spectrum out of that, only 4% is the ultraviolet. That's it, 4%. And that's all these sunscreens can screen against. And those rays, I have a diagram in the book to how shallow they are going into the skin. 47% of what's coming at us, the radiation from the sun, is near infrared. Those near infrared rays go much deeper, and they get into our mitochondria. They cause damage. They cause DNA damage. And so you protect against the ultraviolet, which causes the sunburn, and then sit in 47% of radiation impacting your skin, going well below the surface. And so it actually causes melanoma, actually causes more skin cancers. We have seen melanoma just climb since sunscreens were introduced.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have the tracking on the skin cancers because they don't track them in the United States. But doctors have put together studies show that there's much more skin cancer than there was before they were introduced because, and it kind of goes into your other part, is that you're sitting in the sun so much longer because by putting on the sunscreen, you're actually turning the red light off on your dash and saying, oops, disconnect it. The sunburn is nature's warning sign saying you've had too much sun, mm-hmm. and it's time to get out. Not sit there for another few hours with the rays that you can't feel penetrating and causing damage deeper in your skin.
Well, what about, there has been an argument made about UVA versus UVB. That's a little bit technical, and I'm not sure I entirely follow that, but from what my rudimentary understanding is that many sunscreens protect against UVB, but the UVA gets through with damaging effects. So, even if... you bring up this additional perspective of that the infrared rays are not shielded. And obviously, infrared has to do with heat. We know that we heat up when we get into the sun. That's a sign of that's the signal of infrared in terms of the human sensory system is, you heat up. That may not be good in and of itself. But what about this UVA-UVB distinction?
Well, the UVA and UVB is the whole ultraviolet spectrum. So when they first initially brought out the UVB sunscreens and then found that that wasn't helping, and it's like they forgot about the UVA. So then they went to, well, now we need broad spectrum because you need to protect against both the UVA and UVB. The UVB is what causes the burn. So so now what we have is sunscreens that cover both the UVA and UVB, but that's still only 4% of the entire solar spectrum. There is nothing they can do about the 47% of the near infrared that goes much deeper. They can't. I've attended an international dermatology convention, and they actually had the screen up there in front of over 1,000 doctors saying, ultraviolet 4%, near infrared over 40%. And the person giving the lecture said, and there's nothing we can do about it. Because it's so deep, those rays go so deep, they can't stop it.
So at best, what they can offer is they can offer people protection against burns, which are painful and uncomfortable. But mm-hmm. when it comes to claims that we're preventing skin cancer, it's never been demonstrated that the sunscreens actually do that.
No, well, and actually it's promoting it because you're sitting in the sun so much longer.
Right.
And the melanoma statistics absolutely support that. They've just been doing nothing but climbing ever since the introduction of sunscreens.
So, one of the things, one of my takeaways when I've looked at this issue is that these chemical sunscreens are generally bad because the chemicals are harmful. My impression was that if you used good old-fashioned zinc oxide, I grew up in Santa Monica, California, where, there were a lot of surfers, and the surfers and lifeguards used to have, like, a white nose. And right. I thought, well, at least that's, that's good old-fashioned reflective zinc oxide. It's a big, molecule that is not likely to be absorbed into the skin, and it just, it's not aesthetic. and it totally blocks the sun, but at least it's going to give you something. You're going to have to spend the whole day out in the sun. It's going to give you some protection. True or false on that zinc oxide?
That's true. And when it's that big white paste that you can see, that is the safest sunscreen preparation that you can use. The only problem is that it's, in order for it not to be white paste and to fool the eye, the manufacturers have been making it nanosized.
Right.
So nanosized is less than 1/5,000th the diameter of human hair. So we're talking absolutely so minute. And that, they do not have to put the size. When the manufacturers put the label on, they do not have to tell you if they've got nanosize in there or not.
It just says zinc oxide or alternatively titanium dioxide, which, by the way, if you buy an S can of white paint, that's titanium dioxide, which is a metal, which, you know, I tell patients who have gastrointestinal problems not to take supplements that are whitened with artificial coloring with titanium dioxide, because if you look at titanium dioxide under a microscope, it's got like sharp little shards. It looks like broken glass, and that's why it reflects light and, you know, gives you a white appearance.
Right, absolutely. That's so true. And so the old-fashioned white paste, that's very good. The problem is it's now the titanium and zinc oxides are into this nano size or micronized size, and those are very damaging. They're so tiny, they are absorbed. They try to say they're not absorbed. There's plenty of proof they're absorbed into the body. Cause pathological lesions in the liver. They pass through the blood-brain barrier, kill brain cells. They disrupt a brain enzyme. They go into the bone marrow and disrupt your blood cell replication. So you're saying
that they're small enough literally to pass through the skin layer?
Absolutely.
Okay, these are very tiny particles. But, you know, if you get the white paste, it's the bigger particles. But if you get to something that's transparent and it has some zinc oxide or titanium, likely it has the nano particles. What nano means, dwarf or tiny, the ultra very, very tiny particles that are small enough to penetrate.
And they do penetrate. There's absolutely no doubt. And it's staggering to me to read the studies that say, oh, there's no penetration, when we have plenty of proof, and I have it in the book. I have over 800 references in the book all proving how dangerous they are and how they don't work. So plenty of evidence that they don't. And those tiny particles, what they did was they at first were nanosize, and nanosize means less than 100 nanometers. And then there's so much proof about how damaging the nanometers are that they decided to come out with micronized. Well, micronized, we're safe, we're non-nano. Well, all they did was move up from about 30 nanometers up to 160 nanometers.
So it's four times the size, like, or five times the size, which is not really a big upgrade.
No, you're still 1/5,000th the diameter of human hair. It still goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done studies, and they both cause the same amount of damage in the body.
Right. So, and the big concern, of course, is with children, because children have thinner skin, they have less effective skin barriers, but also, well, we love to spray our kids. I mean, somehow it's like, you know, don't put your hands on me, let's just spritz it on, no physical contact necessary, that whole thing of, you know, mom rubbing you down and, you know, the kid going, yuck. Just spray away and spray it maybe into the kid's nostrils or the kid's, you know, lungs. What about that?
There's no way not to breathe it, and going into the lungs is very easy access into the body. Sprays should not be used whatsoever, in addition to not using any of the sunscreens. The sprays are the worst. And if you see somebody spraying them on the beach, you know, there's people 3, 4, 5 down from them who are getting it because it's being spread.
They're getting secondhand sunscreen.
Exactly. Right.
The dangers of secondhand sun. It's like, no, I don't use sunscreen. Oh, but the people downwind, you know, upwind of me, they use the sunscreen, and I'm downwind, and I'm inhaling it. Oh, boy.
Well, what's interesting about that is that one of the hormonally active chemicals that they use in so many of the sunscreens is now found in 97% of Americans' blood. If you sample 100 people, 97 will have that chemical. Even those who say they've never used sunscreen, because it is now in our waters, it's in our lakes or oceans or rivers, it's in our water supply, and it doesn't come out in waste treatment plants, So we're eating fish that have them in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we are really being exposed. So we are getting secondhand sunscreen.
So you're a lab scientist and also a certified menopause practitioner, which means you know a thing or two about hormones.
Exactly.
Can you explain to our listening audience here how could these chemicals have reproductive effects? I mean, they're not, you know, we're not spraying estrogen and progesterone and testosterone into the air. What could they possibly do to induce, you know, reproductive changes?
Right. This staggered me. It really did, because I've been a certified menopause practitioner and a hormone specialist for 20 years, and I learned to scuba dive 50 years ago. And so I got to see the incredible...
You went with Jacques Cousteau?
Right.
You're one of the originals,
yeah.
Right?
Right, yeah. So I got to see all these gorgeous reefs in the world, and then got to see them start deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
And the deterioration I noticed about 1985. Sunscreens were introduced in the mid-70s. So in 1985, I went back to Grand Cayman that I had seen this gorgeous, gorgeous reef. And that was within walking distance and snorkeling distance of where the cruise ships let people off. So thousands of people a day were going to this reef. I saw it in 1980. It was absolutely pristine, gorgeous. The people on the ship would say, make sure you put on your sunscreen as you were going to go snorkel.
Mm-hmm.
5 years later, that entire reef was dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
Well, you know, it makes sense because coral reefs don't need sunscreen. In fact, they need the sun.
Right, absolutely.
And so
that's
maybe
true.
They're getting either it's some toxic effect of the sunscreens, or maybe literally that the sunscreen may be screening out the rays that are necessary for propagation of the coral inadvertently.
It's
but you know, between the nanoparticles and the chemicals and the screening out of the light that is precious for these organisms that live beneath the water, maybe that, you know, who knows, because there's so many changes in our environment these days. But this may be a significant component of that. I've noticed this many diving sites across the world.
Oh, and I have the proof in the book that if you just put coral in with these chemicals that are now in almost every sunscreen, the coral's dead in 96 hours. Dead. Just that exposure to the chemical.
Yeah.
And including... The preservative they're putting in. The preservative alone will kill the coral.
Well, you know what a preservative is. A preservative, as you know, is something that is a biocide. It kills organisms because you don't want germs or mold or, you know, bacteria to grow in the sunscreen. So they actually mandate that these products contain some kind of agent that is biocidal or germicidal. But that's going to, you know, be toxic to the environment per se, because it kills stuff. It kills single-celled organisms like bacteria. And plankton is a close cousin to the bacteria. So, yeah, I get it.
Right. Well, the nanoparticles, the plankton absorb the nanoparticles till they burst. So it's killing the plankton around the ocean. But the reason that I brought this up, because... I was in Hawaii. I've been swimming in Hawaiian waters for 40 years, and I was in Hawaiian water trying to tell myself to get into it because it was so much colder than normal. And the headlines are reading, our reefs are dying due to global warming. And I'm going, your water is colder than I've felt it in 40 years. And so my research brain said, what's going on here? I immediately found that the sunscreen killed the coral. And my husband said, you're a hormone specialist. Why are you going to write a book about sunscreens? It wasn't until I got into them that I found that they're very, very hormonally active. Almost all the chemicals are hormonally active. They're either estrogenic or anti-estrogenic, or they act like testosterone, but the majority of them act like anti-testosterone.
Wow. And that's, that may have some profound reproductive effects in terms of infertility. It may affect development, especially in male fetuses. It may affect brain development, even sexual orientation. I mean, there's a lot of implications of that.
Oh, it is. And the benzophenone 3, which is in almost all the preparations, that is more anti-testosterone than flutamide. And flutamide is what they would give prostate cancer patients when they still thought that testosterone was driving their prostate cancer.
Right. Well, they The flutamide is something. It's still a blocker. Yeah. I mean, at a certain stage in prostate cancer, they do what's called chemical castration. So that is still used. And, you know,
this benzophenone 3 that is now 97% of our blood in America is more anti-testosterone than flutamide.
Wow. So I should give my patients with prostate cancer, just tell them to slather on some sunscreen. They'll be fine.
Bathing, right.
Uh-huh. It might cure them. No, it might actually mess them up.
No. Right.
So, wow, that is an interesting fact. So, all right. So, this is a good point at which to pause, because I want to, continue to talk about some of the chemicals and additives and environmental impacts of sunscreens. Today, we're talking to Dr. Elizabeth Plourd, who is an expert in this field. She has turned her scientific expertise to analyzing the sunscreen industry and looking at the detrimental effects of sunscreens. And she's got a dynamite book which talks about this called Sunscreens and Biohazards. And it's available from her website. Give out your website once more, please.
It's sunscreens, and sunscreens with an S, so it's plural, sunscreensbiohazard.com.
Okay.
And the title of the book is Sunscreens Biohazard, and the subtitle is Treat as Hazardous Waste.
All right. With that groundwork laid, let's proceed to part two of today's discussion. We ask our listeners to rejoin us as we continue our discussion about the downsides of sunscreens with today's guest, Dr. Elizabeth Plourd. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.